Hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Before we get there and we get moving, I'm going to ask you another question. I'd asked you a question last week. Y'all remember? How many of you were here last week? Four of you? I asked you a question last week. How close are you? Right? How many of you know you can be as close to God or as far away from God? He said, you take a step toward me, I will take a step toward you. Amen, church. You can be as close to God as you want to be. But this morning, I want to ask you another question. I want to ask you the question, are you listening? Say, are you listening? Are you listening? Church, God is still speaking. Amen. The question is, I said, church, God is still speaking. The question is, are you listening to him? In the book of Jude, verse 11, it talks about the error of Balaam. Amen? It talks about the error of Balaam. You see this? It says that they had ran greedily into the error of Balaam for profit. So he talks about the error of Balaam, referring to an Old Testament character and story that we're going to look at in Numbers chapter 22. You can go a few chapters over from Jude, and you go to Revelations 2:14, and it talks about the doctrine of Balaam. Everybody say doctrine. Jesus, this is Jesus himself. And he says, I have a few things against you. He's scolding the churches. He said, I have a few things against you because you hold on to the doctrine of Balaam. You see that? So you go from an error. Jude talks about this thing called an error, referring to Balaam, this Old Testament prophet. And then in Revelation, Jesus is speaking to John the Apostle, and he is talking about the doctrine of Balaam. Now, before we read Numbers 22, I want to just say this in referring to the will of God over your life. The call of God over your life, the purpose of God over your life. Most of the time, listen to me very carefully, it's yes. The call of God, the will of God, the purpose of God on your life, most of the time it's yes. When you become a Christian, listen to me, you get dropped on the interstate of serving God. It's go, it's do, it's accomplish, it's do what you can for God. It's go, it's build the kingdom, it's obey God. You have his approval. His hand is on your life. It's a green light. Go after it. Do whatever you can to further the kingdom of God and honor God. If God wants you to do something, listen to me, church, if he's called you to do something and you're living your life saying, God, I want to honor you, and God, I want to please you, God, I am giving my life to you, I want to do great things for you, you need to know, church, that the answer is yes. The answer is always, most of the time, yes. Amen. The answer will most of the time be yes. God will say, go for it, do it. Go after me. Chase your dreams. Do what's in your heart. But occasionally, it is possible to miss it. But occasionally, it is possible to miss it. I think when it comes to the will of God, it's difficult to miss it. I don't think that the will of God is something that you see as fragile. I don't think the will of God is fragile and easy to miss over your life. Church, I don't. I believe that God is faithful. I believe that God is broad in many ways. And even if you do miss it, listen, we've got this GPS on the inside of us called his spirit. Come on, church. If we do miss it, we've got this system inside of us called his spirit that can recalculate and get us back on track. Come on now. And it gets us back on track. But occasionally, we do miss it. Occasionally, we do miss it. Maybe we get bad counsel. Maybe it's the way we were brought up, or something happened to us in our life that produces a way of thinking in us, and we begin to go the wrong way. Sometimes it's a hurt. Sometimes it's an offense. Sometimes we eat bad pizza or have bad Chinese food. We haven't slept. Maybe we're tired. We're fatigued, or we get around the wrong influences, and people start pressuring us, and we don't mean to. Listen to me, we don't set out to, but we miss something that God is wanting to do. Are y'all following me? The word error is what the scripture first talks about, the error of Balaam. In the Webster Dictionary, the word error means to miss it. It means a mistake. The word error, the imagery that's given is one of a man who's in the outfield. Where's my baseball players at? Four of you? Okay, where's my people that watch baseball? Okay, that's better. The World Series was last night. Listen, the imagery that is given is one of a man who's in the outfield. He's in the outfield, and there's a pop fly, and he's running after the pop fly, and the sun gets in his eyes, and he misses it. You know that actually happened to me my junior year in high school? I'm not even kidding. My junior year in high school, I'm playing right field. Nice, beautiful pop fly. I'm there. I got it. Bink. That's a true story, y'all. I'm like, whoa. Everybody's sitting there laughing at me. I've really done it. That's an error. It went down as an error. That's an error. But that's the imagery that's given when you hear the word error. He set out to catch it. He set out to field the ball. That was his goal. But something distracted him and he missed it. It's an error. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't that he wasn't trying, but he made a mistake. And the Bible says in the beginning, that's what happened to Balaam. He just missed it. He just made a mistake, y'all. He was trying to catch it, but he dropped it. Or if you play football, it would look something like this. You're in the end zone, and they throw you the ball. And you miss it. It's an error. She threw me the ball, but I missed it. I intended on catching it. It was my desire to catch it. I really tried to catch the ball. Amen. I'm working up here, y'all. I'm trying hard. My intentions was to catch the ball. But I didn't catch the ball. It was an error. I missed it. And that happens to all of us, church. We just simply miss it. We all fail. We all make mistakes. We're all flawed. We all miss it. Nobody's perfect. And we all sometimes take the wrong turn. That's just the nature of being human. We all miss it sometimes. We all miss it. But the Bible says that he didn't stop in the error. He graduated to doctrine. Doctrine is sound principles. Doctrine is something I believe in. Doctrine is an immovable stance that I will take on something that it's doctrine. It went from being an error to Balaam said it's doctrine. It's like he's standing in the end zone and he goes to catch the ball and they throw the ball to him and he still misses it. He still misses it. And he says, touchdown. Touchdown. And everybody's like, but wait a minute, you missed the ball. He said, no, a touchdown. You give me 6 points on the board. Okay, look, you missed the ball. We know you were in the end zone. You made it to the end zone. Praise the Lord. But you didn't catch the ball. No, I caught the ball. I want 6 points on the board. And you go from error to doctrine. You go from making an error, you go from missing it to changing the rules of the game. Church, that's when it becomes doctrine. You didn't catch the ball. It doesn't matter if I caught the ball. Now you're going from error, you're going from missing it, you're going from dropping the ball to changing the rules of the game. That's doctrine. That's saying, oh, it never worked that way. I'm playing by my own rules. I don't care what God's plans are. He said, this is doctrine. Put my 6 points on the board. Church, he's changing the game. You go from missing a pop fly to changing the rules of the game. You see, the danger for us does not lie in missing it or making a mistake or failing. That's going to happen. You will err. You will take a wrong turn. The danger is when you formulate that into an unmovable stance. Oh, church, the danger is not in missing it. The danger is when you make that into doctrine and you make it into an immovable stance and you say, "Oh, no, I didn't miss it." That's the danger. That's the danger in it. It vindicates or justifies the error you're walking in. Church, the danger is not in missing it. The danger is when we vindicate it or justify the error that we're walking in, that we keep doing. That's when it became doctrine. And so Numbers chapter 22, and I've said this before, but the Old Testament is the dictionary of the New Testament. Church, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Amen. The New Testament, the Old Testament is the dictionary of the New Testament. So we get to go and find out exactly what Jude and James were talking about. We get to find out what he was saying when it went from an error to doctrine. Now, open your Bibles with me to Numbers chapter 22. Let's go. Starting in verse 23. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? "Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey." I want you to catch this. The donkey turned aside and went into a field. "So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back out onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against the wall." Do you notice the progression here? Are y'all seeing the progression here? It went from a field to a narrow path. Watch. Notice the progression. "So Balaam struck the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was so aroused, he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?' And Balaam said to the donkey, 'Because you have abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you.' So the donkey said to Balaam, 'Am I not your donkey on which you've always ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you?' And Balaam said, 'No. No, you weren't.'" This story here is one that's very familiar to us. Amen. If you've been around church in any way, you've heard something of this story that God uses a donkey to talk to the prophet. Amen. And how God is speaking to you right now. This story is of a donkey talking to a prophet and how God is speaking to you right now. God is speaking to you in your life, probably through an unusual source. Y'all missed that just like the rest of them. I tried that this morning. That joke didn't go over really good either. If you'll listen, God is probably speaking to you probably through an unusual source. But maybe it's somebody you've chosen not to listen to. Maybe it's something that you've not chosen. He's speaking to you. Are you listening? God is speaking to you. Are you listening? So the background of this text is Balak. Balak, he is the king of the Moabites. He's tired of losing to the Israelites. Every time he goes into battle, the Israelites win. Every time they go to fight, the Israelites find a way to beat them. They find a way to come over them. And Balak hears that the reason that the Israelites are so successful is because they talk to their God and the Israelites get favor from their God and the protection of their God. Amen. So he hears that there's a guy by the name of Balaam. He hears there's a prophet by the name of Balaam who the Israelites, they go and consult. And if the prophet said that God is going to be with you, God is going to give you the victory, God's going to, then they win. If they go consult the prophet and he doesn't say that, then Israel does not go to war. And so here's Balak. He finds this out and he's thinking to himself, what I need to do? He said, I need to go and hire Balaam to come and work for me on my side. So he goes to Balaam and he says, I need to hire you. Can I hire you away from the Israelites? Can I bring you to my side and he can give us the favor? If he can speak the favor over the Israelites that they can win and have victory over us, then I can pay him to come over and speak the favor of God over us so we can have victory over the Israelites. Amen. So he gets word to Balaam. And Balak the king, he says, listen, Balaam, I've got this massive treasure. I've got all this gold, all this silver. Read it. Read Numbers 22. He said, I've got all of this. All I need you to do, like I said, is the same way you speak the blessing over the Israelites, is I need you to come over, listen to God for us, and speak the blessing over us so we can overcome the Israelites. And Balaam says, let me pray about it. He's a man of God. God speaks to him. God communicates with him. God talks to him. God is clear with him. And he's praying. He says, God, would you please let me do this? Oh, sound familiar? God, would you please let me do this? This is a lot of money, God. I really want to do this. Let me do this. I know that you told me no, God. I know that you've told me to not speak against your people. I know that you told me to hear from you on behalf of them, not to hear from you on behalf of someone else. I know you don't want me to do this, God, but please, please, please. I know you don't want me to do it. I know what you've told me. But this one time, God, I beg you. And he's trying to talk God into doing something God doesn't want to do. He's trying to talk God into doing something that God doesn't want to do. Think about how we do this all the time. God says no, but we sit and push and push and we try to, but God, please, 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 God, just this one time. I know she don't know you, I know, but God, she's really smoking hot and I really like her. I know she don't know the Lord. Oh, God, I know she's crazy. She probably got a demon in her, God, please, please, not just this one time. I know he don't love you, Lord. I know we don't have a heart for you, but he's hot, God. I can save him. He'll see you and me, and I can save him, God. Don't we do it all the time? Church, come on, tell the truth. Don't we do it all the time? We do it all the time. All the time. And we ask God all the time. Amen? It's a negative relationship. It's a negative thing that's grabbed a hold of you. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's some other compromise. Church, but it's there. And we know it's not the will of God, but you're justifying it. You know it's not the will of God, but you're justifying it. Oh, I really want this, God. Oh, I really need this, Lord. Oh, God, I want it. I want it. I want to want to do this. We're looking for reasons to justify it when God has already given us a no. We are looking for reasons to justify it when God has already given you a no. He's already given you a warning. He's already said that he does not desire there. And Balaam is doing this. He's pushing. He's praying. And God says, no, I don't want you to do this. And he's asking over and over and over, but God, please, please. And God's saying, no, 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 no. And finally, God says, if you really think that you want to do this, you keep pressuring me. You keep pushing me. You think this is really how you want to live your life? Then I guess you can go ahead and go. He said, but before you do, Balaam, he said, I want you to get some sleep. Wake up in the morning. I want you to pray about it. I want you to come ask me again, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about it. He wakes up in the morning. Balaam jumps up. He runs to Balak. And he says, God told me I could do it. He didn't pray about it. He didn't communicate to God about it. Come on. Church, we want to blame God when something goes wrong, but we don't even talk to him before we do it. You're quick to blame God when something goes bad in your life. You're quick to blame God. Oh, how could you do this? But you didn't even ask him before you married that crazy girl. You didn't even ask him for it. You quit your job and went to another one. Balaam gets up. He jumps up. He runs to the king and he says, God said I can do it. Yeah, let's go. Let's do it. He didn't pray about it. He didn't seek God. He runs and says, God said we can do it. God said, let's go. Let's get it. Amen. So he goes out and he saddles up his donkey. He starts riding and he ends up in this open field. And the Bible says that in verse 23, we've already read it, but the angel of the Lord shows up in front of the donkey. And it's in an open field, church, this massive space. There's room everywhere. And the donkey can see the angel, but Balaam can't. The donkey can see the angel, but Balaam can't. And the donkey tries to turn around. And the donkey knows that it shouldn't be going in that direction. And the donkey knows it needs to turn. And as soon as it tries to turn around, Balaam gets infuriated. And he starts beating him and kicking him and making him go back on the path. He is in the middle of this open field. Church, I'm just going to preach to you for a minute. Because you see right there in the middle of that open field, there's plenty of space to turn around. He knew he wasn't going the right way, and he had plenty of room to turn around. He had all this space to turn around. Let me tell you something. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you need to turn around now because the path is getting narrower and narrower. God is telling you right now you're going the wrong way. Don't we do that? Balaam has so much room to turn around. Turn around, Balaam. Turn around before it's too late. Church, right there, there was no obstacles. There was no hindrances for him. Yeah, maybe some conversations have happened. Maybe some thoughts have been going on in your head. Maybe you've gone a little bit further than you really should have, but it's not too late to turn around. It's not too late to humble yourself. It's not too late to say, God, I need you. Amen. It's not too late, church. God, I made a mistake. I pushed when I shouldn't have pushed. I prodded when I shouldn't have prodded. I let my attitude and my anger get the best of me. I let my stubbornness get a hold of me. And right here, there's openness. There's space. There's room to turn around and get your life right. Amen. It's so important to get that. There's so much room. Just turn around. But Balaam keeps kicking the donkey. He keeps kicking the donkey, pushing it in the wrong direction. He ends up now between what the Bible calls two vineyards. And in between the vineyards is a narrow path with a wall on each side. And the Bible says it keeps getting narrower and narrower and narrower. There's not as much room to turn around. But the donkey sees the angel of the Lord again. You notice the progression. The donkey sees the angel of the Lord again. And he tries to turn around, he breaks Balaam's foot. The Bible said he crushes his foot up against the wall to try to get Balaam to quit going in the wrong direction. Church, are you seeing this? Do you know God will do everything to get you to turn around? Amen. Four of you know that? Praise the Lord. I'll get the rest of you later. He's doing everything he can. Now listen, finally Balaam is so mad and angry, he ends up. And the path narrows all the way that there's no room to even move. The donkey is stuck in this path. There's a wall here. There's a wall here on this side. The Bible says there's no room to turn to the left or to the right. He can't move. He keeps pushing and pushing and pushing in the wrong direction. Am I talking to anybody this morning? He keeps pushing and pushing and pushing and going in the wrong direction. It's interesting to me that the further he pushes through the nose of God, the harder it is to turn around. The further you push through the nose of God in your life, the harder it's going to be for you to turn around, church. Amen. I don't know who needs to hear that. The further you push through the nose, it's going to be so much harder for you to turn around. Amen. Yeah, God, I know it's wrong. I know this isn't your will. Yeah, God, you gave me plenty of space back there to accept your grace. You gave me plenty of space back there to turn around, but I didn't. And over time, if you're not careful, your conscience will get seared. Do you hear me? If you keep going in the wrong direction, over time your conscience will get seared. Over time you start justifying it. And what was an error for a moment now turns into an immovable stance on something in your life. Church, what was an error for you for just a moment? It becomes an immovable stance in your life. It becomes doctrine in your life. Amen. And you keep going down the wrong path over time. It's extremely hard to turn around. The longer you live in sin, the longer you resist the heart of God, the longer you stay in that bitterness, the longer you stay with that bad attitude, the longer you stay in addiction, the longer you stay in that little compromise, the longer you flirt with the devil, the longer you flirt with that wrong thinking, the more disadvantaged you become over time, the stronger your captive becomes, the stronger the grip comes on your life. Amen. The longer you flirt with the devil, the more he grabs a hold of you, church. Amen. You see it in churches. You see it in teenagers with parents. You see it in godly relationships where they can see something in your life that you can't see. Church, people in your life, they're talking to you. They're speaking to you. They're saying, come on, turn around. Don't do it. Don't do this. But you won't listen. You're so unteachable, the path gets narrower and narrower and narrower until finally you reach the point in the story where God is speaking. Are you listening? You get to the point in the story. He can't go any further where God is speaking. Are you listening? Are you listening? So God uses a donkey to talk to the prophet. Amen. Notice the picture here. God uses a donkey to talk to a donkey. That was a clean version. God uses a donkey to talk to a donkey. God's using a four-legged donkey to talk to a two-legged donkey, and the four-legged donkey is smarter than the two-legged donkey. You ever been there? God is speaking. Are you listening? God's trying to get you back into his will. He's trying to get you back into his purpose. And this is what the donkey says. Listen, he says, Balaam, since the time you bought me, have I not always carried you? Since the time you bought me, have I not always been here for you? Have I not, you rode me for the first time. Have I not always done what you asked me to do? Went where you asked me to go? If you said do this, I did this. If you said carry this burden, I carried that burden. If you said work this plow, I worked that plow. Whatever you said, Balaam, I've done for you. Amen. And Balaam's angry. And he asked Balaam, have I ever in any way resisted you? And Balaam says, no. You've always been faithful and trustworthy. And Balaam is angry at the very thing that has carried him his whole life. Balaam is angry at the very thing that has carried him his whole life. And that's how it is with us, with God. And God is sitting there asking us, he says, man, have I ever not been trustworthy? Have I ever not been faithful to you? Have I ever let you down? Have I not carried your burdens? Have I not saw you through the thick and thins of your life? Have I not been your healer? Have I not been your provider? Have I not come through for you? Have I not blessed you? Have I not given you opportunity after opportunity? Have I not always said yes to you? Go for it. Do it. My hand is on you. Let's go. God said, have I ever said no to you like this? It's amazing how the moment God gives us that first no. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I gotta hurry. When God gives us that first no, like how Balaam, we get angry, don't we? What do you mean no? What you talking about? You told me to do this, God. Just like Balaam, we get angry and we start to beat up Christians. We start to beat up our parents. We want to beat up other godly influences because they can see something that we can't. Church, they see something that we can't. They can see danger that we can't see. God will put people in your life that will see what you can't. And many of you are kicking the donkey you should be kissing. God's going to put people in your life that's going to see what you can't see. And many of you are kicking the donkey that you should be kissing. You're showing more love to people you should be kicking. And you're kicking the people who you should be kissing that love you, that have the best interests at heart for you, that love you and want the best for you in your life. I am your pastor. As your pastor, I'm supposed to hurt your feelings. I'm supposed to get on your nerves. This is my job. I'm supposed to preach sermons like this. This is my job. This is what I'm supposed to do. It's my job, and it's not because I'm better than you. It's because I need to hear this too. I'm preaching to myself. We all sometimes listen. We all sometimes get it stuck in our head to go our own way and do our own thing. Don't we? We all get it stuck in our head to go our own way, do our own thing. We all fall into error. But the problem is, if we don't listen to the right voices, it will become an immovable stance in your life. It's not an error anymore. It's doctrine. Amen. God give Balaam a vision. We're ending with a song today, too. I'm just telling you, y'all ain't leaving until I dismiss you. This one's moving. The Spirit is in here. Woo! God is in here. Watch this. God gives Balaam a vision in Numbers 24:4. And the vision is this. Watch. He says, hey, Balaam, if you keep wanting to do this, he says, you're going to fall with eyes wide open. He says, Balaam, if you keep doing this, and you keep pushing, and you keep going the wrong way, Balaam, he says, you're going to fall with eyes wide open. In other words, there's going to be no excuse for you for why you end up the way you end up. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? You're going to fall with eyes wide open, Balaam, and there is no excuse. There's going to be no excuses why you end up the way you end up. I talked to you in prayer, God said, and I told you no. And you went, he said, I talked to you in that worship service. And you said no. I talked to you in that field. I talked to you through that friend. I talked to you when the path got narrower. I tried to talk to you. I tried to use that hurt. I tried to use the pain. I tried to use the thing in your life that crushed you to talk to you. Church, God is still speaking. But in the end, if you keep pushing forward, Balaam, you're going to fall with eyes wide open. You see, Balaam wasn't a baby Christian. Balaam had been used by God. Balaam knew the heart of God, but he was allowing the error. He was allowing the mistake. He was allowing the wrong turn, the oops, I shouldn't have done that. He was allowing that to control his life. He was allowing that to push him in the wrong direction, and he was allowing that to become an immovable force for him, and he fell with his eyes wide open. Because it went from an error to doctrine, he fell with his eyes wide open. And this morning, I'm talking to somebody that you've experienced the touch of God in your life. You've experienced being intimate with God. You know God's word. You know God's plan. You know when God is directing your steps, and you know God is when he's directing your steps, and you know that you are moving in the wrong direction, and your eyes are open. Who am I talking to? You know you're moving in the wrong direction. You know God is speaking to you, and your eyes are wide open. There are things, there are thoughts, there are places, there are people that are involved in your life, and they love God, and they're warning you right now to turn around. Amen. You don't need me to tell you to turn around. You don't need me to convince you to turn around. God's already been speaking to you, and your eyes are wide open. and you need to know it's dangerous when God says, fine, have it your own way. That's very dangerous, church. Go ahead, have it your own way. Do what you want to do. Amen. And then the Bible says in Numbers 31:8 that Balaam ended up dying by the very sword that he was beating that donkey with. Isn't it interesting that God used a symbol of stubbornness to tell Balaam, you're stubborn. Amen. It's funny God will use sinners to tell you you're sinning. Isn't it funny that God will use somebody that you used to influence to tell you, man, what happened to you? Amen. Isn't it interesting that you're trying to tell people that God said yes to something they already know he said no to? Most of the time, listen to me, it's yes. It's go. You've been approved. Go for it. God's hand is on you. And every now and then, he says no. And every now and then, we push past the no and we go too far. Amen. And I want to close with this story. And I had read this. And then we're going to end with a song. In the early 1900s, there was a very wealthy family. They had gained most of their fortune from mining. They had a son named William Borden. He graduated high school and he was on his way to an Ivy League college. His future was set. His path was set. All he had to do was go to this Ivy League college, continue in the family business, and collect the fortune. His life was set. But before he goes to college, he goes on this trip. All he had to do was follow the plan. His life was secure, his finances. But before he goes to college, he goes on this trip. And on this trip, God begins to give him a burden for hurting people across the world. Starts giving him a burden to go into the mission field. And on this trip, he decides that what he wants to do with his life, instead of fulfill the dream and the call that his family and the family business, instead of being the one who inherits that business and that fortune, he's going to turn from all of that and he's going to go into the mission. He wants to be a missionary, and he knows that when he tells his family this, as he preparing to write this letter, they're going to be extremely disappointed, and he's writing this letter to them, and he knows it's going to be extremely hard for them to read this letter. But he knows God is telling him to go into the mission field, so he writes the letter to his mother and his father. And he says, listen, guys, he said, I know the plans. I know what y'all want me to do. I know what the future holds for me. He said, but I feel like God wants me to go a different path. I feel like God wants me to help the hurting. I feel like God wants me to go preach the gospel in the unreached parts of the world. And he's writing this letter to them. They get this letter, and his family hears about all this. And his friend writes him a letter back. And he says, you're making the biggest mistake of your life. Don't do this. You're walking away from all of this for some pipe dream. And he has a moment where he's wondering, maybe I should go back. Maybe I should return home. Maybe I should go back to the safe path that's laid out for me. But he made a decision. He said, no, God, I'm not going back. I'm going to follow you. And he writes in his Bible. And he writes in his Bible, no reserves. Very top of his Bible. He writes, no reserves. He finally makes it to Cairo, Egypt. And he's learning, he's studying to make sure he knows the languages for the people and the places that he's going into to preach the gospel to. And while he's there, he's not reaching anybody. No souls have been saved. Nobody's been baptized. He's not preached a sermon yet. But he gets sick with spinal meningitis. He gets spinal meningitis. And during his sickness, he gets word from his family telling, you can come back home. Come back home. You can recover here. But he says, no, I'm staying. He says, I'm not backing up. I'm not turning around. I'm not going back, and I'm going to do what God has told me to do. And he writes another phrase at the top of his Bible, and it says, no retreat. 5 months later, his parents get word that he died. And the story hits the newspapers across America. Sorrow hit the nation, learning about this prestigious family and this young man with so much potential, so much gifting. In many people's opinion, he was wasting his life. Several weeks later, his mother was going through his Bible, and she reads the phrase, no reserves. And then she reads after he got spinal meningitis, no retreat. And then right before he died, days before he had died, there in his Bible, it said no regrets. And that same story went out and the world heard the no reserve, no retreat, no regrets message. And it inspired an entire nation of young people. And thousands of people that were just doing their thing, the young people doing their thing to live a safe life, left that safe life, and hundreds of missionaries were inspired through his story.